Don't know about you, I just really deeply, deeply sense the presence of God with us this morning. Dave started off with that passage in Exodus. But it goes on to say, you know, when he says, show me your glory. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name. It wasn't just whispered, wasn't just spoken, it's proclaimed. Shouted it out loudly. That's what it means. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That's what God proclaims. I've just had a wonderful, wonderful time. And I'm going to change track now, because I'm going to speak about trials and suffering. And yet, you know what? In life, it's everything. It's those wonderful times of worship, praise, adoration. God, I don't want this to end. And then you get the other extreme of the trials and suffering. We're doing a series, David, we just started one. And so we're looking at first book of Peter. And we've started in chapter 1. And I'm going to speak about from verses 3 through to verse 12. I'm not going to cover all of that, but I want to read it. It's good that we read the Word of God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy that we read in Exodus, in His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine, and may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. And when they spoke of the things they've now have now been told you by those who preach the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. So this is our passage this morning. All right. And last week, Dave started off in just a first couple of verses, and it spoke about God's elect and those who've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Do I need to move? Can you see? We're okay, are we? Okay. I'm not that tall. That's okay. But Dave said last week, he reminded us, you were never an accident or an afterthought. You were called. Not only called, but you were elected because you're in the heart of God. Remember that? It's just wonderful, isn't it? Isn't he great? Yes, he is. Dave also said, God calls us for a purpose. For a purpose. It's wonderful. I don't just sit here. I'm here for a purpose. You're here for a purpose. You're born for a purpose. You're born again for a purpose. So remember what the offer was. You're not certain what thing might be. Come and seek some prayer. Let's do that, folks. Let's do that. So, our scripture passage for this week is 1 Peter chapter 1 and 3 to 12. And in this section, Peter wonderfully describes the richness of our salvation. Here's just one or two things. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in his great mercy. Again, in his great mercy. Not a tiny bit. It's amazing. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth. I've not had a paint job. There's not been a bit of restoration. It's a new birth. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone. And the new has come. It's a new birth. That's what's fantastic. Yeah? You're a new creation. Aren't you wonderful? You are. Yes. Okay. Into a living hope. This isn't some vain thing out there. So it's a living hope. Right? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isn't this great? Risen from the dead. And into an inheritance. We've got an inheritance. You see, when I realise what I believe about my future shapes my today. Shapes who I am today. It's because of this inheritance, folks. This is what he's talking about. It's wonderful. That can never spoil, perish or fade. It ain't going to wear out. I'm wearing out. I know it don't look like it. I look wonderful, but I'm wearing out. Right. Kept in heaven for you. So, and it's this faith which is shielded by God's power until the coming salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Okay, back to Dave. He's great. I like going back to Dave. As part of introduction to the book of Peter, he said, "There's no there are opposition. There's going to be oppositions. There are struggles, but." There is the grace of God in the midst of all that is happening. And then he says, stand firm in this faith. That's what he said. Want me? Dave. Peter said it. Oh, Peter said it. Okay. Right. In a similar vein, Paul in his letter to the Thessalonians, we read this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we're encouraged about you because of your faith. We now really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. They're having troubles. They're having all sorts of troubles. The Christians, right, hear about those troubles. And Paul's encouraged because their faith, they're standing firm. He's encouraged by it. It's wonderful. So your faith, your standing firm in this struggle, your standing firm in the Lord is an encouragement to others. You're an encouragement. They are blessed because of your faith. That's what. This morning I'm going to major on verses 6 and 7. That's what I'm going to major on. Okay. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. When I read scripture, I love reading about the promises of God, the love that God has for me. And then I come across some verses, some phrases I really don't want to dwell on. Like this in verse 6, which talks about suffering and grief in all kinds of trials. Whilst I don't like to think of such things, the reality is life is not always good. It can be tough. There are times of suffering for all of us. I don't think anyone's excluded. We live in a world which is wearing out, and one day it's going to end. We have bodies that grow older, and they too are wearing out. They are. I know. There's things I can't do now I could do years ago. Okay. So, we have questions. And maybe you've got questions. Questions like, I can't believe, or some people have, hopefully it's not you, I can't believe in a God who allows suffering. Especially to innocent people. Come on, that can't be right, surely. You're telling me of a God who loves, and then all this happens? Or, is suffering and trials God's will? Or maybe, why has God allowed this to happen? What have I done wrong? Or maybe, where is God in all of this? Sometimes it's God, and sometimes it's other people or other forces. But Jesus warned his disciples on a number of occasions. Here's just one or two. So in Matthew he says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. This is what he says to the disciples. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. John 15. If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Okay. And Paul also had many, many challenges, trials, great difficulties, and he writes to the church in Corinth this. He says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardship we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. So this morning, I'm going to speak on how God uses these trials, these tribulations, these afflictions, whatever their source may be. In the mid to late first century, we hear of a man called Seneca, who was an influential literary and public figure in Rome. And he said this, fire tests gold, affliction tests strong men. And we've got that similar description in that passage I read earlier in verses 6 and 7. In Acts chapter 14, verse 14, chapter 14, verse 22, we hear how Paul and Barnabas strengthen the disciples, encourage them to remain true to the faith. And they said, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Now, in the English Standard Version, it translates the word hardships into tribulations. And tribulation in the dictionary says great affliction. In other words, not a good time, not a good place. They were the disciples there, that they were teaching the Christians to expect difficulties. And it's the same for you and me. Let's accept things will and do go wrong. We can expect to have disappointments, challenges, hurts, trials, sufferings and tribulation. The question is, when things go wrong, what is your reaction? How do you respond? In verse 7 we see that God uses these trials to prove our faith, which will result in praise and glory and honour to God. So, trials come to test faithfulness to God. The real question is, will I trust? Do I trust God? Whatever happens. I find it easy to trust God when everything's going well. Is it the same when I don't get the answer to my prayers that I'm looking for and hoping for? In the Old Testament, we hear of three people with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were in captivity, that they'd been taken as exiles, and the person in charge there was Nebuchadnezzar. Now he was all right some days, and he wasn't other days. A bit like your boss, you might say. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar's there, and some people, and they gather around, and they see that Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, these guys love God, and there's something different about them, and you know what, we're going to get them. We're going to have them. You watch this. So they bring up some good old idea to Nebuchadnezzar and says, you're the greatest thing since the earth began. You know you are. You're king, you're great, all the rest of it. So quickly said to him, why not make a decree? Anyone who doesn't bow down to you, they should be burnt in a fire, in a furnace. So that's basically the tale. So that's what they dreamt up. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they hear about this, and their response is this. They say, the God we serve is able to rescue us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Even if he does not. Okay. In your troubles, in the midst of your trials, God is with you. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Jesus, just before he ascended into heaven, we call it the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 20. Jesus says, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. The real test of faith is this: believing that God is with you, that God loves you so much, even when it doesn't work out as you want it to. Speaking about faith, There's a great guy called C.H. Spurgeon, lived a few years ago, a brilliant man, really was. And questioned about faith, I've heard so many things about faith. And although he's able to debate wonderful things, he could explain things really quite simply and plainly for the likes of ordinary people like me. So it was great. And he says, I hear, I believe, I trust. That's how he describes faith. I have a brother, and many, many years ago, I was still at home, and I could see my mum was upset, dreadfully. And she said, your brother Noel has been arrested. The police have charged him with murder. So it comes as a shock, not expecting that. Obviously we pray, and we're thinking, God, it's bound to be released in a few days, I've made a mistake. He wasn't. But then he was charged and he had to go to court. I know my mum attended the court every day, thinking, there's got to be some evidence here that's just going to acquit him. Wasn't. And he was sentenced and spent time in top security prison, along with the Cray brothers. And I will say, there was a good ending to it. 10 years after he came out from prison, they found out someone else had done it. But I want you to just imagine just that time. This is the unexpected, isn't it? Out of the blue. Whilst he was not an angel, there were certain cities thinking, well, I can't believe that. I can't believe it. God, where are you? And you pray, and you pray. And it's as if heaven is silent. God, where are you? Where are you, Lord? These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine. My mum, bless her soul, we have a wonderful mother, great, she taught me so much. Then she developed motor neuron disease, which is a muscle wasting disease. And we looked after her, and she had a flat, and she was only literally half a mile from where we lived. And I did say to her, Mum, there's going to come a day when you're not going to be able to cope. And when that day comes, I'm going to come round, and you're going to come and stay with Jill and me. And she did. But you know, it's not easy, is it, watching a loved one suffer? And some of you have had this. Watching a loved one suffer. Just deteriorating. And yet, even through all of her suffering, my mum never, ever complained. She got to a point she couldn't speak, she couldn't eat. She just used to do hand signals or write things down. How are you today, Mum? Thumbs up and a smile. You know, it's not easy. You know this. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine. We know there's real hurts, there's real suffering for many of you. But let's never forget that Jesus suffered regularly, and in the end, he suffered dreadfully. But God never abandoned him. And God will never abandon you either. God is with me all the time. God is sovereign all the time. Which means, I don't like it, Lord, but you are sovereign. It's not the outcome I wanted, Lord, but you are sovereign. All the time. All the time. Read earlier, thank you so much. Those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. Remember the words of God. remember it. This is what helps us. You know what? It's during times of suffering, trials and tribulations, I learn quite a few things. Who do I trust to share my anxieties, my troubles with? And you know what? In reality, it's been very few. It's God who strengthens me. It's been God who's seen the tears on my pillow. It's God who hears my cries of anguish and sorrow. It's God who gives me the ability to cope with everyday living in the midst of all this trouble. So often I can do nothing about the situation. I can do absolutely nothing. Nothing. Nothing to change what is happening. Events take over and I am completely out of control. And it's during these times I'm aware of my weaknesses. I'm aware of my vulnerability. I'm aware of my inadequacy. And I lean onto, or rather fall into, or even better still, throw myself into the arms of God, who shields me with his power. God's power, full of love. His all-encompassing love, flowing through every part of me. His love which gives me inner peace, despite all that's going on. His love which brings a healing to my aching, hurting heart, soul and very being. His love gives me strength to face the day. His love gives me a hope for the future. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine. I've also had times when I've not thrown myself into the arms of God. I've not even leaned towards him. And this has been to my peril. I've leaned on my own strength, my own ability, self-sufficiency, which came up very, very short. I moved away from God. And as I moved away from God, I moved away from his protection and his provision. My choice. I went into a downward spiral of self-pity, self-indulgence. When this happens, you stop praying. You stop worshipping. You stop meeting with Christians. I know this because I've done it. And I don't think you are much different from me. So life was getting worse and worse and altogether miserable. Then I was deeply challenged by a Christian. That is the grace of God. I've moved away, do my own thing, I know about God, I've pushed away from that. A Christian challenges me, that is the grace of God. I don't deserve yet another chance. God's grace moves in, God's grace rescued me. I came to my senses and my relationship with God was restored. My experience, my testimony is, when you're facing trials, tribulations, sufferings, call out to God. Trust in God every time, all the time, whatever the time, and whatever the outcome. The purpose of earthly trials is to sift out what is not genuine in our faith. So what is left is genuine. It is real, it is true, it is sound. This genuine faith encourages me, strengthens me, constantly reminds me God is here now in the midst of all this trouble which is happening. Verse 5, we read, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Shielded from the subtle suggestions, deceptions, lies of Satan who whispers in your ear, where's God now? If God really loved you, would he let this happen to you? So why hasn't God answered your prayers? Where are your so-called church friends now? Where are they? And I would say, this shield comes into action the moment you start walking in faith. And that's a step at a time. A step at a time. We know it is. This shield is effective through the power of God. It's not reliant on you holding the shield. God holds it, and because God holds it, it can't be moved. As you step out in faith, the Holy Spirit enables you and helps you. This enabling helps you move from a place of despair to one of hope. Usually the first reaction is to call on God, to pray and pray, and then you pray again. You pray, God, please intervene in this situation. God, help me to trust in you. It's as basic as that. It's not here. Help me to trust in you. I've not even got the tiniest bit. Give me strength to cope with this. I want to stay true to you, and I want to trust you completely. That's your prayer. Something like that. God, help me in my weaknesses. And God answers, I'm here. I'm here. Because God says, I will never let you go. Never forsake you. Never leave you. Then there are times to say, I don't even know what to pray. And Scripture encourages us to pray in the Spirit. And when we do, the Holy Spirit appeals on our behalf to God. And he does so according to God's will. This strengthening, this empowering affects your attitude and behavior for the better. You know it does. You've been there. Your attitude is different because you sense the presence of God. Your speech, even the tone of speech, is different because you sense the presence of God. You now speak with a new hope. There's a peace surrounding you. This is the presence of God. And this is what speaks so powerfully to other people. They wonder or ask you, how do you go on? How do you cope with this? How is it you can act in this way? Your faith in the midst of these trials brings glory to God. You are a living testimony to the love God has for you. You are a living testimony to the ability and strength of God. You're a living testimony to the peace of God. You're a living testimony to the power of God. You're a living testimony to the presence of God. I'll say it again. Your faith in the midst of these trials brings glory to God. Stand firm in this struggle. Stand firm in the Lord. Amen. I'm just sensing there may be some here, and you've been challenged, upset maybe. If you want prayer, we'll pray for you. But I'm going to pray now, just for all of us. Because I sense God is with us here. And I feel God has brought us here for a purpose. To remind us of his presence, his power, his grace for you. He has a purpose for you. And he's saying, I ain't going to let you go. There's more I want you to do. You're not staying in that place. I want you to move on. It's time to move on. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ now. Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your presence here now. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your conviction. We praise you, Holy Spirit, for your strength in our lives. And I pray now your healing for those deep, aching, hurting hearts. Your healing. Come in healing power. Come, give a new heart. Come with fresh hope. Come with a fresh revelation of who we are in Jesus Christ. Precious, treasured, wonderfully, beautifully, magnificently created for the purpose that you want us to be. We say, we offer our life to you again, O God. As rubbish as we feel at the moment, come in new power. Wash the old away yet again and give us fresh hope and a fresh revelation of you. Your grace, your love, your mercy. Oh God, that we can be a help and an encouragement to others so that we can live the life which brings honour and glory to you, O God. Amen.